welcome to Reality Rehap Ups. We are covering the Amazing Race International in this particular branch of the Rehap Up. My name is Jessica Lease, your correspondent for all things Amazing Race. And with me this week on the podcast is actual Canadian, Phil Gourlay. How are you doing today, Phil?
Everything's great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a big reality fan. I've done some recaps for Rob for Big Brother Canada, and Amazing Race is definitely my favorite out of all the big three, and I'm excited to be doing this. Myself, I'm just like an event planner up here in Niagara. I live kind of close to Niagara Falls, and a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, as I understand it, you've even organized your own Amazing Race?
I have. We actually just recently did one in Niagara Falls, and we had Jed and Dave from season one. They were our ambassadors for the event. It was a lot of fun, and my partner and I, we ran in it, and we did pretty well. Climbed the top of Niagara Falls' version of the CN Tower. Did all the stairs for that, so we were pretty proud of that.
Wow, that's fantastic. I heard great things. So.
Oh, it was amazing, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was an amazing race. So.
All
right, so let's get right into it. We're covering Season 2, Episode 2 of The Amazing Race Canada this evening, and I think our top story tonight is we had a rare medical quit in Tofino, British Columbia. We saw a task that looked pretty physical, pretty intense, and then in the blink of an eye, Sean dislocated his shoulder, and Jen and Sean were out of the race. What did you think about this whole situation, Phil?
Well, I was shocked at first because he seemed like somebody that, I was kind of surprised that he would be the person that would get injured doing this task. He seemed like a guy that would be fantastic at this.
Yeah, he looked like he was in great shape.
And even the way that it happened, when the pop noise happened, I was kind of like, what actually happened there? I didn't see anything actually happen. So I'm still kind of confused as to what happened. If the wave made his arm go a certain way, or...
Yeah, it almost looked like he paddled the wrong way, and it was such a non-event, the actual injury, that it was really hard to figure out what was going on there.
Yeah. I was really upset that they had to withdraw. I like this team a lot. I think that they would have been a lot of fun through the race, and they were catching up. If the injury didn't happen, they wouldn't have been eliminated for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't without their little foibles, but I think it made them more entertaining. Like when they tried to take the cab to Tofino, and Jen backing the electric car into a fence,
which was hilarious. I snorted at that.
So oh
that,
yeah.
A good one.
Yeah, they were really fun. They seemed like good people. I think they would have learned. I'm not sure I like them as being a competitive team, but they definitely... I would have liked to see them stick around longer, so that was very disappointing.
I think it would have brought a lot of comedy to this show. I think that was sort of the thing that I liked about them. I think they would have lightened the mood of the thing. They seemed to be sort of getting along with a lot of the teams and made it fun.
Yeah, and they're the kind of team that looked like they were in it to have a good time. So we got a question on Twitter about this, actually. Friend of the podcast, Michael Harmstone, wanted to know, where does Sean's shoulder rank on injuries in the grand scheme of reality injuries? Like, is that worse than Dave and Connor? Worse than Meredith and Gretchen? What do you think about this, Phil?
Ooh, well, I mean, injury-wise... I've always thought that actually, yeah, the one that you just brought up there, Meredith and Gretchen, I've always thought that one was really, really bad. Obviously, we know Dave and Connor, I mean, we heard about it so many times about how bad that was.
And plus, he was old, so...
He was old. So I think that both of those two were definitely a lot more severe than the shoulder injury, but I mean, obviously they couldn't continue. He was in a sling. I don't know if they really could have continued. A lot of it would have been hard for them.
Yeah, I suspect some of that had to do with timing. Like when Dave tore his Achilles tendon, it was 3 seconds before they hit the mat. So it seems to me that he was able to get medical attention after he'd already checked in, whereas Jen and Sean still had a whole task ahead of them. And he had to be sedated to have his shoulder popped back in. It was just kind of bad timing as well as a bad injury, I think.
I would imagine also, I was wondering if the show would have, I guess they wouldn't have been allowed to say that there was another team that hadn't checked in at that point. And I wonder if they had known that, if that would have changed anything for them.
Yeah, that's a good question. They don't really know where people are in the order.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was rotten luck all around. Although I hear, like, talking to a lot of the racers, so many people have told me over the years that they were all running on terrible injuries. So to have something bad enough that someone can't continue, it has to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, Jen and Sean, they will definitely be missed. So we can go back to the top of the hour. Teams were told to make their way to Pacific Rim National Park Preserve. Now, Phil, you're an East Coast Canada person. Have you ever been out to British Columbia?
Unfortunately not. I've gone Ontario, everywhere from Ontario to the east, but I haven't managed to make it out that far in Canada to the west. I've done the States, but not Canada yet.
Yeah, I've been everywhere from Manitoba west, so we got a whole thing covered between us.
Covered for cover.
Yeah, so Pacific Rim National Park Preserve, they get going. It looked like there was quite a bit of a spread between the teams. You had Natalie and Megan leaving a little bit after 4. We had Suki and Jinder at 6. They didn't see how late everybody else was, but I liked this a lot better. Like, this is just another stark contrast to Amazing Race US, where everybody was checking in at the exact same time and leaving within an hour of each other. They're not afraid to spread people out a little bit, and I don't mind that a bit.
I love that the, like, Canadian, the Australian versions, they let them take a different flight. Like it really makes the time seem so much better and brings excitement. If they're all always being grouped at the airport, there's no drama really at the airport.
Yeah. And, you know, they don't even have to show the airport. We didn't see the airport this time.
No.
But we got just that little bit of travel drama of everybody getting on their way and Rex and Bob committing an ultimate act of foreshadowing.
Yes.
If we'll be okay.
Whole episode, they were just breakdown city. I don't know what was going on with those two.
Yeah, they said they'd be fine as long as they're not total idiots. .. Yeah, so the first task we get to is the detour, and we got sharp knives versus sharp eyes. What'd you think of the breakdown in the choices, Phil?
Well, I mean, first detour of the season, not the most exciting of a detour, but of the two, I mean, sharp knives seemed like the one that I would think would have been the easier one. My partner and I actually talked about it because he felt actually the other one would have been easier. But for me, I think like anything where you have control, like with a knife, that I don't know. It seemed like that one was going to be a lot more easier than sort of making. It was almost like a puzzle with the fish trying to get them all in, and if it seemed like it was really hard.
Yeah, it definitely. One of the things I liked, though, was that they made this fish slicing element a little bit harder by saying there's a finite amount of fish, and if you don't get 30 pounds out of it, you have to go do the other task. And I thought that was really clever. And also, there was a lot of task switching and a lot of people struggling to kind of find which one was their task, which you see a lot of tasks where there's one really obvious choice, and this one was a little bit less evident.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts on when partners, when one partner wants to quit and the other one doesn't? When's the time to actually say, okay, maybe we should quit because my partner is definitely not feeling this task?
Yeah, well, this is really interesting. I assume we're talking about Rex and Bob, and Rex saying, I want to drop it all. We got to go do the other thing, and Bob's not letting him do it.
Yeah.
I think you got to look around at the other teams and you got to see how they're progressing. Because if everybody else is figuring something out that you yourself are not getting, that's a good time to switch.
Yeah.
And if you're doing the same thing over and over and you can't think of any possible thing you could be doing different, that's a good time to switch. I think Rex was just frustrated.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was foreshadowing again of how the whole thing was. They just seemed to not want to do any tasks the whole episode.
Yeah, they were so over it. And it's like, leg two, guys. What is up with that? Yeah, so other great moments I loved about this. was Elaine and Audrey were never going to get that sorting task because they couldn't quite get the criteria down.
Yeah.
Elaine thought that maybe it was that the fish had their mouths open, but Audrey quite correctly pointed out that all fish have mouths that open.
But they were, and it could be based on editing and time, but I felt that they were really quick to make the decision, okay, we need to move.
Yeah. So, they seem to be really self-aware. They know what their strengths and weaknesses are. And they got to that thing, and it wasn't a puzzle to be figured out. It was just an impossible task.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's absolutely another good reason to switch tasks. We had Jackie and Laura, who started out the other way. They started out cutting the fish, and then they switched to sorting. And turned out to be not too bad at it.
Yeah.
And that's a great detour, is when people are switching back and forth both ways.
Well, because we had, I think we had Ryan and Rob, and was it Natalie and Megan? And they both had to, they started with the sorting, then went to the fish, to the cutting, and then they had to go back to the sorting again, didn't they?
I think Megan and Natalie actually nailed the cutting, but Rob and Ryan definitely switched back and forth. And I guess in some of the fan circles, they call that a double bald snark. named after Ken and Gerard from season 3, who used to switch back and forth with some amount of regularity. And it sticks in my head that that's called a bald snark. And I thought the judges on this they didn't have the character that a lot of judges have, but they were entertaining in their toughness. Very resigned sorting judge saying, that's incorrect. And you had the cutting judge was just calling everything garbage.
That was my note. I was like, who was that woman? She was having either a really bad day or she should have been an actress. She was really good.
Yeah, I got the impression maybe they had someone else booked to do the judging and they dropped out at the last minute. And this poor lady was just like, it's my day off. I'm not even supposed to be here.
I'm around fish. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, get the right numbers of fish so I can get over this and go home.
Oh, and then we also had the line of the show during this part. We had the, there's fish in my pants.
Yeah, the build-up to this was the best part. Where's the clue? Is it in your pants? Something's in my pants. And
there's fish in my pants. Okay, there we go.
All right, and I think it wasn't that they were just happy to see everything.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really hyper. That team, exhausts me a little bit. They're all over the place.
Yeah. Well, if they can keep that up for the rest of the race, I mean, other teams have done very well with that level of energy. But man, they got to dial it back. I think they're not going to last the whole race. I did think the fish in the pants gave a really interesting clue to how they were judging the task. Because they had everything correct, except they were missing a fish. So the judge was probably looking for a specific number of fish in each bin, and if you could figure that out.
Yeah, and it didn't, like, when you watched the judge, it didn't look like she was even counting. So she obviously was, so it's impressive. She was a good judge. She very faced, like, you didn't know what she was doing, so what the problem was.
Yeah, she definitely had the poker face going on. Although one thing I've heard from racers is that frequently, the judge isn't actually judging anything. It's the producers are saying, okay, you can say that one's fine, you can move on, and you can say these people are incorrect. But I don't know if that's true every leg. I know it is certainly true on some of them. My other favorite line from this task was, there's a fish inside a fish.
Yes.
And I liked Rob and Ryan promising to kiss the fish if they finished the task, and they definitely kept their word.
They delivered. That was good.
I mean, it's nice to know that, you know, their word counts for something.
That's right.
Who were the MVPs on this task, do you think?
I had a note that I was really impressed with Alan and Audrey just because they made the move at the right time, and they did get through the cutting the fish really fast. There was the other team, Pierre and Michelle. I mean, when they were driving to the event, they knew, to the detour, they knew exactly what they were going to do, and it didn't seem like they really had any problems.
Yeah. Let me go figure the meat packers are good at cutting things.
Seriously.
Yeah. And then Jen and Sean showed up relatively late, but they were in and out fast because Sean attributed it to his graphic design skills. He was able to hone in on the details and visually recognize which fish was which. And that gave me a lot of hope for them. Made it even sadder when they were out of it.
I was surprised that they, when they did solve it, because they were still a little bit towards the back, that they helped Lori and Jackie out. They told them how to solve what fishes go where. So
yeah, there was a lot of race left to be doing that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but I think they figured they'd already made up a lot of time. They were close behind other people. They could probably overtake them. And I guess I got the sense that they liked the girls and they wanted to help them out just on a person-to-person level, which you do see creep into the race a lot. I mean, I don't think it was like Jason and Amy levels of over-assistance.
No, definitely not, no.
Yeah. So, next step, we are on our way to Chesterman Beach, which is apparently a popular surfing beach in the area. And I always have to write down the names very carefully, and I even, like, I look them up and make sure I know a little bit about them, because I know you Canadians are very proud of all of your landmarks, and every time I name a location, I get, like, 5 Canadians jumping on me saying, well, you don't know this little known fact about my spot that I've been to a million times, and here's a whole bunch of fun facts about Canada. So I want to encourage listeners, tell us more about Tofino if you can, because it seems like a really cool place. I saw, actually, just in the New York Times, there's a travel article. They did 52 travel spots to go to this year and then add an extra one every month. And the one this month was Tofino, and it looked absolutely gorgeous. And the surfing task is just a continuation of that.
I like that they did this task. Like, it seems so far through this one, the first leg had the extra task of the flood, and now we've got this extra task of surfing. Like, it's not just go to a statue or go to a park and grab the clue. It's actually you have to do something.
Yeah, and that's something I noticed last season, too. Like, arguably the hardest task last season was that thing in the lentils. That wasn't a detour, and it wasn't a roadblock. And I love that they're making the route markers a little bit more active. So they are on their way to find the surf shack, which is a little tent with some wakeboards and a giant sign out front that says surf shack.
I know who you're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah. You think? So out in front, we got Rex and Bob. We got Elaine and Audre. They're kind of neck and neck. They get to the surf shack, and Rex and Bob find their clue. They get to surfing. Elaine and Audre, not so much.
No. Well, they thought that it was in the wood pile for that they had the roadblock in. I think they were out looking in the wood. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how they even got to that point, but they're all over the beach, and they come back, and they're like, no, I have to find the surf shack. And could it possibly be behind this giant sign that says Surf Shack? Maybe it is. And we actually got a Twitter comment about this. It was phrased as a question, maybe sort of a rhetorical question. Christian Zicardo said, is it only all the time when someone is so adamant and says, no, the clue isn't there, that the clue is always there?
They have somebody waiting there and just hoping that somebody's, like, really adamant, and then they run to go where the clue is. I think there's just somebody waiting.
Yeah. Well, what do you think the strategy is if you're one of those teams and you're not seeing a clue that you know is right in front of your face?
I think, this makes me think of Fran and Barry.
That's exactly who I thought of, too.
I really think that if they actually had just stopped for a second, and instead of just constantly wandering, they may have actually, like, focused and found it. And I think rereading that clue sometimes can help you, too. Usually when teams get lost, you don't usually see them reread the clue.
Yeah, well, we saw Suki and Jinder kind of go down that road earlier. They're stuck on the task, and they say, well, let's go back to the clue. Maybe we're missing something obvious. And, oh, there's no clue, but here's the fish. There you go. Stop to read the clue is always a good strategy, I think. But Suki and Jinder made another critical error. They're on their way to the surf shack, and they think, well, our car is electric. what if we run out of juice? We better stop and charge up. And the guy at the gas station points out, you guys still have 450 kilometers on this, and this is a long-range car. So my question to you is, do you think they actually thought they needed to plug in the car? Was that really awkward product placement?
I don't know. I kind of thought that they... I didn't even think about product placement there. I actually think that they thought that they were thinking outside the box to maybe get gas before they really needed to get it, thinking maybe other teams would forget to do so. But I don't know. That's one thing that's never really come up on the races, an electric car and getting it charged. We've never seen that on any race yet, I don't think, where people are forgetting to do that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I got the vibe that, yeah, maybe that was kind of legit. They really thought that they were going to one-up the other teams.
Yeah, I mean, they were well in front of other people. They knew they had a little bit of a time cushion. I guess that makes some sense. But yeah.
Product placement, too. That I didn't think about that. That's
we sure got to know this is a long-range electric car. You can drive more than 450 kilometers on this one tank of electricity.
I also noticed that the girls, the hockey players, they got to the surf shop really fast. They, like, compared to where they were, they I think they got their third, and I think they left like fifth or sixth. They got ahead of some teams there.
Yeah, well, they are, I mean, as we're learning, they are able to make up any small amount of time.
Oh yeah.
And I think they're the team to watch out for, absolutely.
They're gonna be tough, definitely, to beat. I'm sure there's a lot of fans out there. I actually like them. I thought I wasn't going to like them, but so far I like them a lot.
Yeah. Well, can you speak to, like, how famous are they in Canada? Like, is on a scale of, like...
Well, hockey's our thing.
Well, yeah.
Here. And the Olympics with this year, I mean, it was huge. The actual women's game probably got a lot more attention than the men's game did. This year, people were really impressed with the ladies' team, and so this was a really smart casting choice to do it, especially this year with these girls. There was a lot of people that were just they're heroes, really, for Canada. So,
so yeah, it's kind of, would it be fair to say they're the body break of this season?
Yeah, I think some people have said that Rex and Bob are, because Rex is very famous. He was on huge star for years, but when it comes to actual competitiveness and who you think could actually win, I think the girls are the celebrities. They're the body break team.
Yeah. All right, because at this point in the race last year, it was looking pretty good for body break.
It was.
Yeah, I guess it's just kind of, we got to remember anything can happen, but.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, definitely the hockey girls have been great at navigation, and they nailed that surfing thing pretty easily. Natalie tried it. She wasn't good at it. She said, here, Megan, you try it. Megan gets it on the first try. Wins the gold medal in surfing.
Another medal.
Yes.
I was surprised with the girls. I know we're just to go a little bit off topic. I was surprised with the girls that there was absolutely no talk this whole episode about the Express Pass.
Yeah, until you just mentioned it now, I had completely forgotten that the Express Pass was a thing.
Yeah. They're like, not even, we got the Express Pass last leg. There was nothing.
Yeah.
It was just in the intro, the recap, that they won it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It might be one of those things, like, I'm sure they're not going to be all Marie about it.
Yeah.
But, I could see them just kind of handing it off to someone with very little fanfare because they have to do it.
Yeah.
I would guess we might not even hear about it next episode.
I mean, they might be thinking it's smart to hold on to it till the last minute to get rid of it, and then maybe give it to the weakest team that's left at that point.
Yeah, and then that's absolutely a great strategy. Or you hold on to it until someone absolutely needs it who isn't a threat to you, which we've learned is also a very good strategy.
I mean, we don't know. There could be anything that could come up that might also get people mad at one another, right? That we could have. Well, you don't even know. Maybe there'll be U-turns, blind U-turns. Anything could happen. So
yeah, I mean, so far, people seem pretty low drama. There's not a lot of hating going on.
Cormac and Nicole. Nicole seems a little focused on a lot of people.
she's high strung.
Yeah. Very focused on where the other teams are and the death look that she was giving Jinder and Suki when they were sorting the fish. That was a face of fear. That was to be scared of that face.
Yeah, well, that, like you said, that energy level is probably a little off-putting. Yeah, so it seemed like everybody either got the surfing right away or they had no end of trouble.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting. Mike Bloom brought this up in our Rob Has a Patrons group. He wanted to know if we thought maybe this was a roadblock originally and they retooled it to make it a little bit easier.
Hmm. Maybe.
But I think you're on to something with the new format of there being a detour, a roadblock, and a third task. I think that's kind of been set in stone already.
Yeah. I mean, if they did it, they would have done it. I think they would have had it done beforehand because, I mean, as we saw when Alan was and Audrey were looking for the thing, that the roadblock was all set up at that point.
Yeah.
So as far as I think that it was something that was supposed to happen, but it was just some teams, you know, that they were lucky that they got to switch.
Yeah, and it enabled them to, like, product place a camera. Like, you need to film your teammate and show it off to the judge.
That's what the show's about now.
Well, you gotta pay for it somehow.
Especially up here.
Yeah. Well, otherwise you wind up doing what the U.S. version does, and you just start cutting cities and making everybody fly on the same airline, and then you just have chaos.
That's right.
Yeah, so everybody eventually gets it except for Sean, who messed up his shoulder, and Rex and Bob, who are seen just kind of thrown in the towel, and it looked like it was fairly early. They're just like, we're not going to do this anymore, and we're just going to keep going and see how it plays out. Did this seem early to you?
Oh, very early, and kind of upsetting that on the second leg of team, it's kind of upsetting that a team would do that. Like, especially knowing how much they quit this episode, it's kind of like, do you guys really want to be running this race? Because I'm sure there was another team that could have got in that really wanted to do this. But I mean, compared to seeing some of the other teams that were able to do it, obviously, you know, this is a balancing thing and there's people that have just horrible balance, but they really did throw in the towel really fast.
Yeah. And it's kind of alarming that we're 2 for 2, like two episodes and 3 task quits, and actually yeah, 4 task quits if we're going to count Jen and Sean.
Almost 5 because they almost wanted to quit the detour.
Yeah, it's true. Although this is a thing I'm wondering. The tasks on Amazing Race Canada are significantly more difficult than the tasks on Amazing Race US, and it would never be a valid strategy to just up and quit a task on Amazing Race US unless you're Boston Rob and you have to eat 4 pounds of meat.
Right.
But in Canada, it might take someone more than 4 hours to finish a task. You know, maybe it's not a terrible thing.
Well, because it was only a 2-hour penalty.
Yeah, for the regular tasks, it is only 2 hours. And you can, if the roadblock turned out to be really crazy hard, it might have been okay. But it was still, you never want to quit. Like, quitting should be the last resort.
Oh yeah. I mean, again, when knowing that they quit again on building the chair.
Yeah. And building the chair was the most, like,
that's like the stupidest quit I think we've had, like, on any Amazing Race. Building a chair, I quit.
Yeah, and really, I think they fed off of each other's negative energy at this point, because I think Bob would have been okay to keep going on the surfing. And then they get to the roadblock, and Rex is so upset, he's just like, you're doing this, see you later.
Yeah.
And I think that just kind of put it in Bob's head that his partner's not on board, so why should he be?
Yeah.
But he made the strangest looking mistake ever on this task. He builds his chair, he's got it done, and then
he takes it apart.
He takes it apart. Why didn't he at least have the guy look at it?
Chair expert, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he could have just... the chair expert, the stock footage was so obvious in this one, like, more so than it usually is. Yeah. Like, they showed the same clip of him holding up the clue and saying, "Nice chair," like, 10 times.
And then they get a 4-hour penalty, so then now they're at 6.
Yeah, I think they have made Amazing Race history as the first team to quit 2 tasks in a row.
Yeah.
So we had, obviously we had a ton of questions about this. We had, Evil Roy wanted to know, did the chair that Bob gave up on look better than a few that passed?
Well, somebody built, I forget who it was, I didn't write the note down, but somebody built a really bad chair, but it worked.
Yeah, like, as long as it didn't break when the guy sat on it, he was pretty generous with those clues. Which was why it seemed so... It was so mind-boggling that Bob would just be like, "This chair is going to fail, so I'm going to take it apart and do it again, and then I'm going to quit."
And I think that actually the person who built the really bad chair was around the same time that he was still there building.
He should have seen it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. And, we also got some Amazing Race history questions.
Oh.
Has there been another version of the Amazing Race where a team has had more than one time penalty and survived the leg? That's from Johnny, who's Connect for Liberty on Twitter. I was thinking of the Stunt Brothers. I think they were season, like, 14 or 15, who kept getting penalties over and over for doing, like, stupid rule-breaking things.
Oh, right. I think that one, like, they did get 2.
Yeah, but they didn't voluntarily take the penalties.
Oh, no, it
was
like a penalty by mistake.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think it was more like a penalty by, "We're gonna break this rule and hope nobody notices."
Right.
Yeah, and Leah wanted to know, what's the longest time penalty ever taken, and did those people get to stay in the race as well? And it used to be...
It's Nancy and Emily, isn't it?
Yeah, it is Nancy and Emily.
And that, to this day, that bothers me so much. I loved that team. I wanted them to win.
They were...
So angry.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, they could have been out there for hours and hours, and they still would have been fine, because there was, once again, there was another team that was messing up as badly right behind them. So, yeah, it's one of those things, like... It just should drive home the point that you should never quit anything. Like, be out there all night if you want. Because unless it's going to kill you, unless you like not feeling extremities, you should always try to run out the leg.
Yeah. The only time I would say if you can't get it done would be if you're 100% sure that there's a team behind you that either can't get it done as well, or they're out. Like, and you know they're out. But
yeah.
they didn't know that, so... They shouldn't have quit.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way that they would... I mean, they really didn't have any way of knowing that. But the interesting thing, did you see what was going on Twitter after the show last night?
Are we talking about Rex and Bob?
Yeah, with regard to Rex and Bob, did you see...
And the editing?
Yes. We had... Rex was throwing an absolute fit at everybody who was tweeting with the hashtag RaceCDA.
Yeah, my partner was adding to that Twitter stuff.
Oh, really? Did Rex jump on him?
I don't know if he responded back, but I think my partner's still mad that Ron and I didn't get casted, and Rex and Bob got our token gay couple spot. But I have to say, like, I can't imagine how they could have edited that really bad, because it was them having the freak attack, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, given that you look at Bob's Twitter feed at the same time frame, and it's all like, "Sorry, sorry, we'll do better next time, sorry." I want to know their side of it. I am dying to know their side of it. My only guess could be that they made the guy try the chair, and they actually failed, and none of it was shown. and other teams were passing with, like, chairs that were piles of wood.
Yeah.
That's one thought, and there's probably more to the surfing thing than we saw, because it seemed like they were just, like, they got on the board and got off the board and said, we're done. There's got to be more to the story. I don't think there's as much more as Rex is saying there is.
No, I think I think it was probably just a really bad leg, and I think, obviously, the way that it looked, there's going to be a lot of people on Twitter that are going to say some stuff about them quitting because of the edit, and I think probably in his mind, just because of how things worked out, he's not seeing it as necessarily a quit as a, they just really couldn't get stuff done. And they needed to take the penalty, maybe.
Yeah, and the other thing that's possible is maybe, I can't imagine that it was very subdued and, you know, on the down low when an ambulance pulls up with its sirens blaring and hauls away one of the racers.
Yeah.
They, and all the tasks being that close together, they had to have seen that happen.
I think so, too. So again, maybe it was something where they knew for sure there was going to be a team that was going to be out.
Yeah, they certainly didn't seem very upset at the prospect of having to sit there and watch everybody else check in. So that seems very fair.
See if on the mat, because on the mat they went on about how now there's no quitting and they're going to run the race now for Jen and Sean. We'll see how well they do at the task, because I'm sure there's going to be a couple more tough ones that are going to come up.
Yeah, I mean, this is so early in the race. It's only going to get harder from here. I can't even imagine that. And, like, you had to have seen, like, if you've seen any season of the American version versus any season of the Canadian version, you know that it's that much harder.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even last season, I mean, when I watched Amazing Race Canada 1, and then I watched even Amazing Race All-Stars, I was just like, wow, the tasks that they had them doing on the Canadian one was just so much better than some of these tasks.
I think the Canadian course might have actually killed some of the Amazing Race All-Stars racers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just a travesty of a season, and it was even, like, more of an insult, knowing that we've got these great international versions coming up where they actually care about the race doing well and not about saving money and selling ads.
Yeah. And the casting, I mean, I'm still kind of shocked at the casting for the All-Stars last season, but that was last season.
Yeah, I had to make the conscious choice. I was being very, very kind to everybody on that cast last season, because if I told everybody what I really thought of it, it would not have been a fun podcast to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, a couple more questions. Z Chong wanted to know, is it fair that Rex and Bob are still in the race?
Well, it's fair. I mean, the race, anything can happen, right? That's part of the race, and unfortunately, a team that I think probably deserved and would have made the show maybe a little bit more interesting is eliminated, but it's fair they're in. They did take the penalty. It'll be interesting to see if there's a flight, if everybody's going to get grouped up with an international flight for next year, or for next week, sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks that they quit so much, but, you know, they're still in it. I think it's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I did have also X-Word Jeffrey wanted to know, shouldn't they disqualify a team after a second penalty? And that's an interesting thought, but no, I mean, the race is the race, the rules are in place, everybody knows. I mean, we're told over and over again, they get like a giant book and it's got all the rules in it, and you know what those are, and you're very familiar with them when you get on the course. So I mean, they're still in it. It's not the best outcome, but I guess it's not totally a miscarriage of justice.
No. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's not going to be as many people maybe rooting for them based on them quitting so much. But, you know, you never know. They might win everybody over, and people might be like, wow, they're so happy that they got lucky and they're still in it.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see the public response to them over time, because I think just about anybody, I mean, One of my favorite teams of all time, Team Guido, were the hated villains of their season. And they are the sweetest, most wonderful people, and when they came back for All-Stars, I wanted them to win really badly.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm a huge Terry and Ian fan, and everybody that I talk to tells me that how much they couldn't stand them, and I think I thought they were great season three, and I thought on All-Stars they were amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know. Sometimes they're the older teams, you know, they people forget that they are the older team, so it's okay to root for them, and sometimes if they get lucky, you got to remember that they're it's a little bit harder for them to do some of this stuff, so maybe they need to take advantage of the luck.
Yeah, I mean, everybody comes in. I think that, like, I've written about this before, I think a few seasons back. I broke it down, like, there's certain stat areas, and some people have their stats stacked really heavily in one direction, like they're a very physical team or a very intellectual team, and one of those stats is luck, and if you're a very lucky team, you can go very far in the race.
Season 13, the guys that made it to the final three.
Oh, Dan and Andrew.
They kept coming in last, second to last, yeah. And, I mean, their whole race was basically luck.
Yeah, like, and Beekman boys, kind of same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely Chuck and Winona made it ridiculously far on luck.
And hair.
Yeah, and hair.
And great hair.
Definitely, they won the amazing hair.
Oh.
All right, so we're at the end of the race. We're at the pit stop, and surprise, surprise, Natalie and Megan, second first place finish in a row, making it look easy.
Oh, fantastic. Leapfrogging.
Yeah, I liked the enthusiasm at the very end.
I actually kind of wish that they went all the way down the dock.
That would have been pretty awesome. And we've had some questions about Survivor Torx, who is one of my favorite Rob Has a Podcast fans, says, I'm so proud of our hockey players. What odds do you give them of becoming the most dominant team ever in North America?
Ooh. Well, ooh.
It's looking good.
Yeah, I mean, right now, they're 100%, right?
Yeah, but, you know, Rob and Amber were 2-for-2 in...
Yep, for the first three in All-Stars. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they're definitely, especially when it comes, I mean, for female teams, I think that this team is going to be known as one of the best.
Yeah, and I've never seen a female team come out in front this hard this early, and I love it. I think it's fantastic, and I hope that the trend continues. Even though I know that if you keep coming in first, if the same team comes in first every leg, it does take away a little bit of the excitement. So there's the trade-off.
Yeah,
but if it's going to be a team dominating everybody, I'm glad it's this team.
I do think, though, I mean, even though there is that chance that we could have a team that gets the first place a lot, I do think, though, again, some differences, there is a little bit more interest with the tasks and even sometimes the storylines with the Canadian version that could make it maybe still interesting if that does happen.
Yeah, boring Canadian race is probably still more exciting than exciting American race. I'm going to give it to you. You guys are kicking our ass.
So far, season two. We'll see.
Yep. All right, so at the end of our show, I've got a few more questions from our Twitter audience. They were really great about sending us all kinds of great questions. Mike Bloom wanted to know, does this race feel more competitive to you than last season? Two episodes in, and there are at least four teams I see winning.
Ooh.
And I don't know, I gotta disagree.
I kind of disagree with that too. I actually feel like there was more talk on the first season about the competitiveness between some of the teams. There's quite a number of teams that don't really seem to even be talking about the competition part of the game. They're just sort of talking about their partnerships.
Yeah, or that they're just there for the experience.
I got
a lot of that. But the funny thing was, I've spent quite a bit of time talking about this with Brett and Holly from last season, and Brett has told me that in his season, they knew from day one that there were only three teams that had any shot at winning the whole race. And going through that whole thing, I mean, he was kind of tooting his own horn about this a little bit, but he said that from day one, they knew it was either going to be the Tims or Jody and Corey or Brett and Holly, and lo and behold, two of those three teams were in the finals. And I think there is a little bit of that this season as well, but maybe even, I can only see two teams in the finals right now. And, of course, there's got to be three, but Elaine and Andre and Natalie and Megan.
I mean, right now they're owning first and second, so I think of the two of those, Natalie and Megan are the ones that are making me feel like they're going to make it all the way to the end. They seem to be working well. I wonder a little bit about, with the breakdown that they had at the surf shop, if they're able to pay attention to detail, then I think Elaine and Audrey will probably make it there too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that there's a chance that maybe Pierre and Michelle or Ryan and Rob might start to turn up the heat a little bit, and maybe they can do it.
Yeah, they've been kind of coasting in the back of the pack this whole race so far. But it's early.
Jed and Dave, they were at the beginning. I don't think that they were too high up at the beginning, were they?
No, they weren't. That's a good point. Like, we didn't see much from them as a competitive force until, like, three or four legs in.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not even until that awful leg in Regina.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's entirely fair. I would prefer it to see a team come up from the back and make it all the way. Certainly better than, like, the season 9 outcome where you have the same two teams taking first and second every single leg up to the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not fun to watch. So I want to see it mixed up. I want to see everybody get in that mix. So,
one team we haven't talked, like, really, well, we talked a little bit about their fish quote, but we haven't talked anything about Mickey and Pete. So I was just wondering what your feelings are on them.
Mickey and Pete, well, they had a task that was tailor-made for them. They were as adept and as primed for the surfing task as Pierre and Michelle were for the fish chopping task. I thought from the first time I saw them, like, that's the Jet and Dave of this season. And I think they've gotten some good quips in, but I'm still not sure I see them as being in it to actually go all the way. I would love it if they did. But
I know that, speaking with Jet and Dave, I know that they were told by casting that the Amazing Race Canada had found Jet and Dave 2.0, and we figured that it's supposed to be Mickey and Pete, but we haven't found, I haven't really found them all that funny quite yet. So hopefully as we get to know them a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, Rob said the same thing. He didn't think they were living up to the hype. They were kind of medium funny. But they're as comfortable in front of the camera as Jet and Dave are right off the bat. Because there are a lot of teams in this race that think they're Jet and Dave 2.0. And
I think there was like six or seven.
Yeah. What team are you most like? Jet and Dave. Because we're the funny ones. It's like being smart. If you have to tell people you are, you probably aren't.
I think Rex and Bob even said they were Jet and Dave, and I don't see that. So.
Well, I think Rex and Bob had to say they were Jet and Dave because they weren't allowed to compare themselves to American teams.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the thing I really have to give credit to casting for is that there are a lot of teams that can't just point to a team from last season and say, that's the team I'm like. Yeah. And that's because Canada's not putting people in pigeonholes this season. All of these people are different enough that they could have mixed in with last season and it wouldn't have felt repetitive.
Yeah. And they used to do that on Amazing Race US. They used to look for different types of characters in their casting. Lately, it's been a little bit more that there's like certain stereotype people that are running.
Yeah. Well, I wrote the article about archetypes three seasons ago, and I keep wishing that someone in casting will find it and get really offended by it and, like, try to prove me really wrong, but that hasn't happened yet. Yeah. So, Michael Harmstone wanted to know, do you think we might get a fast forward next week? Hong Kong loves them, and the Snake Hearts could be it.
Ooh. I don't know. I mean, it's the third episode, so typically, right now, I think that would be a little early for a fast forward.
Yeah, I prefer fast forwards early over later ones because they're not as much potential to screw someone if you take a fast forward in, like, the third leg. So I'd be happy to see it. I think there's going to be some kind of twist next week. Like, we're going to get an additional element.
I would love if they brought in the Australian U-turn. I think that would be great, and that would help cause some drama where they actually have to vote beforehand.
Oh my God, Australian U-turn.
I think that U-turn's great because, you know, people are then running the race knowing that they're going to be U-turned at some point, and the team that got it the last season, I remember how angry they were about it. So.
Yeah. We should probably clarify for the audience, the Australian U-turn is where all of the teams in the race get to vote on who they think should get the U-turn, and whoever gets the most votes gets the U-turn. And it's has the potential to really piss people off. So, yeah, I would love to see that in any season of The Amazing Race, and I think it would definitely... I think it has the potential to kind of put a target on someone's back.
If there is a U-turn, I definitely want it to be a U-turn where at least either people are voting for people, or at least people know who has put the U-turn on them so that there is actual drama that comes out of it. I think the blind U-turn, people sort of, because they don't know who actually U-turned them, it doesn't really get as dramatic.
No, it definitely doesn't. Kelsey X wanted to know, do you think the take a penalty philosophy is going to become a mantra this season with 3 penalties in 2 episodes?
I hope not.
I hope not, too. I think the tasks are there for a reason. It's not the amazing vacation. You got homework. And
wouldn't it be sad if it did work? Like, if somebody was able to, like, quit, like, many times and made it all the way to the end?
Oh.
That would be horrible.
That would be horrible. I think everybody would hate this person so much, they'd have to...
They would be like, Jessica, you said Amazing Race Canada was the best.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? This is terrible. I hate these people. And Canada would kick them out, and they'd have to come here. It would be terrible. Yeah, so what do you think of leaving the country? This is unprecedented.
Oh, it's great. And hopefully they continue... doing it, I'm wondering where else they're going to go. I hope since they went to a couple Canadian places, I'm wondering, like, are they going to have a couple more Canadian places on the end, or are they actually going to go around the world? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it would be super cool if they ping-ponged a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I loved the fact that there was so much that was different in Amazing Race Canada that they won, which they could actually go around Canada, and there was, like, all sorts of different things, like different types of climates and that. But definitely, I mean, going to Asia is fantastic. Going to Hong Kong, that part of the race is always fun on the American season when they go to these highly overpopulated places and sort of fish out of water and see how people react to it.
Yeah, it's definitely better than, like, just going to a random country for the sake of going to a country.
Yeah, so. I mean, definitely Hong Kong is different than downtown Vancouver's Asian district.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot different.
It's very different. Yeah, so I think that about wraps up our coverage of season 2, episode 2, unless there are any giant points that I have forgotten. In which case, I can be assigned a penalty to take place at the beginning of the next leg.
No, I think we're good. I think we've got everything. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing how that snake task turns out. That will be interesting next week.
Yeah, that looked pretty terrible. Oh, yeah, I was told that I should have a new feature on the podcast where we talk about John Montgomery's weird word pronunciation of the week after I made much of the way that he said glacier last week, which I don't believe is like a across-the-board Canadian thing. Am I right?
So how did he say it?
He said glacier.
Glacier.
Yeah, we say glacier down here.
Yeah, glacier. Yeah, he's saying it different.
And this week we got fillet.
Oh.
He said fillet.
When was that?
When they were cutting the fish, they had to cut the fish into fillets.
Fillet. Oh, instead of fillet. Okay.
So I'm gonna keep track of this over the course of the season. Phil, can we find you on social media anywhere?
The only social media I am on is Facebook, apparently, right now. We may be doing a Team Real Fun Twitter page in the attempts to get on Amazing Race ourselves. But right now you can always, I definitely don't mind adding people to my Facebook page, and it is just Phil Gourlay, nice and easy.
Absolutely, and you can always find me on, you can always find me on Twitter at Haymaker Hattie, and I'm on Facebook as well, but usually what just happens is people direct message me to tell me they hate the podcast, so I'm a little more judicious about adding folks.
Maybe I don't want that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It'll be an experiment. I know you Canadians like to experiment. We are available on robhasawebsite.com as Reality Wrap-Ups. It's about halfway down the page, and we have a separate iTunes feed for all of the non-Rob podcasts that Rob has. And we also are going to be putting these podcasts on the regular Amazing Race feed, so if you're already subscribed to that, you can have that as well. We love it if you guys come and subscribe to us on iTunes and write some ratings and leave some comments, and that just boosts our profile and makes us want to try harder. So I think without any further ado, we're going to wrap things up, but I want to thank Phil very much for joining me on my inaugural stab at leading a podcast.
Well, you did very well. Good job.
All right, and join us all this season, and we're also going to be covering Amazing Race Australia if Australia ever decides to air it, which is kind of up in the air. So tune in again next week. We'll be covering season 2, episode 3, and leave us your comments, let us know how we're doing, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.